Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, or what you will wear.
We don't often think of the Sermon on the Mount when we talk about Christmas.
But as we approach the manger to prepare our hearts for Advent, we want you to imagine with us.
Imagine with us for a moment what it must have been like to witness the miracle of the Incarnation through the eyes of the first witness to Christ's birth.
Joseph, husband of Mary.
Scriptures tell us he was a righteous man.
A man God spoke to in his dreams.
A man who loved and honored his wife.
And he was a man who had a lot to be anxious about during the first Christmas season in history.
His first worry, the social stigma of shame.
Mary was pregnant and he wasn't the father.
Joseph wanted to protect Mary from disgrace.
He believed the angel when it was revealed to him that the baby Mary carried was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Yet few others did.
Another thing to worry about, Joseph had to find a way to get to Bethlehem from Nazareth, a journey of over 100 miles.
Days on the road by foot with a pregnant wife at the command of no one less than Caesar, who decreed they register for the Roman census.
Every detail of her health.
The journey.
Their accommodations and the provisions were on his mind.
We don't know if it was because of the stigma of her pregnancy.
Or because there were so many others traveling the same road.
But when they finally arrived, there was no family in Bethlehem willing or able to help Joseph and his young wife.
The rule of threes. Joseph's third worry was when it came time for Mary to give birth, and there was no room for them, not even in the inn.
Tired and alone.
In an unfamiliar place.
Joseph has to deliver a baby.
But, you see, Joseph was used to solving problems.
As a carpenter, he was someone who could see what was not yet there and make a vision into reality.
The desperately creative idea to take their shelter in a stable meant for livestock and fashion it into a delivery room that would also double as a nursery for the night.
And so Joseph and Mary, in the most significant moment of their lives thus far, learned the lesson their son would later preach on the mountain.
Have you ever wondered if Jesus, when he told the crowds not to worry about their lives or about what they'd eat or drink, was thinking about the night of his birth?
Perhaps Jesus remembered the story that his earthly father told him about his birth when Joseph and Mary received urgent provision from God on that cold night in Bethlehem.
A place for Jesus to be born.
A manger for the king.
A place for the Savior of the world to arrive in order to fulfill God's eternal plan of salvation.
As we prepare our hearts for Christmas, let's go to the manger, knowing that God provides for all our needs.
As we go to the manger, remember that God sees the end from the beginning.
He has fed us with the bread of life.
He has let us drink from the well of his salvation.
God has clothed us in new robes of righteousness.
As we light the candle of Advent, we remember that God provides for all our needs and made a way for us to reconcile to him.
Today, we come to the manger with joy.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship with St. Stephen's United Church on this third Sunday of Advent. Would you join me now in our call to worship today? Good news, the Holy One God Almighty claims us as his very own. Rejoice in the Lord. Good news, the times of trouble are nearly over. Rejoice in the Lord always. Good news, God is in our midst, ready to renew us with holy love. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again we say rejoice. Good news, good news. The peace of the Lord will dwell in our hearts. We lift up our hearts in thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Let's take a little moment to be still in the presence of the Almighty and prepare for the rest of this service. Friends, will you pray with me? Holy God of joy, we rejoice in the reality of who you are. We live within the joy of your love for us. Our contentment comes and goes. Our happiness ebbs and flows. Our feelings depend upon our circumstances, our physical health, our brain chemistry. But our joy is deeply rooted in our identity as your beloved children, and we give you thanks. Amen. Let's say together the prayer of confession today. Lord, we confess that we are not worthy to be called your children, and so we live in constant fear of all the enemies of the spirit that surround us. Renew our faith in your forgiveness and your power to give us victory. Help us to see in the baby Jesus the promise of your love, which will give us new life. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, with joy draw water from the wells of salvation. Forgiveness is real. Trust it and share it. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Jesus said, "Truly there is joy in heaven over even one sinner who repents." Truly God is our salvation. So we can trust and we don't need to be afraid. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, "Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feasts. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I am going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise. Among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, by the time we get to the end of Advent this year, we will have actually heard from three Old Testament prophets: Jeremiah 2 weeks ago, Micah next week, and today from Zephaniah. Honestly, I'm not sure why I shifted from the gospel readings for these weeks, but now that we're in the midst of them, I think it might have been some attempt to kind of raise us above the intensity of day-to-day life right now. That's what prophets actually do. They lift our eyes and they lift our perspective to the larger story of God, and that helps us to see things in a bigger picture. Looking to the prophets is a bit like looking to the horizon when you find yourself feeling seasick. They urge us to look at the grand sweep of God's story, and doing that can actually bring a sense of relief from the effects of stormy seasons like we find ourselves in right now. As one of my commentaries put it, prophets hear God when everyone else has concluded that God is silent. They see God when nobody else would guess that God is present. They feel God, and they feel what God feels. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like I could use some of that perspective right now. So with that, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, through these words from Zechariah, these words you gave to him, help us to hear you, to sense your presence, and to really today feel what your heart feels, so that as we do, our minds and our hearts might be shaped a little more into the likeness of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we heard that passage from Jeremiah promising restoration and renewal for God's people. And we talked a bit about its historical context, that God gave that promise to Israel and Judah as they were about to fall to the Babylonians and people were either being taken or driven into exile. We know that a brief glimpse of that restoration came when the people were able to return from exile. But it really, really began in earnest when Jesus was born. And it continues even now. And it will go on until God's dreams for this world are fulfilled and we're all finally free to live the life we were created for. I'm recapping all of that because our reading today is actually talking about that same promise of restoration. Zephaniah was a contemporary of Jeremiah's. Like Jeremiah, he brought prophecies of judgment and warning. And as God did through Jeremiah, he led Zephaniah to conclude those difficult messages with a hopeful one, with this promise that one day all would be restored. Our reading for today is from that word of promise. That's why it's a fitting passage for Advent as we prepare for Christ's birth and open ourselves once again to a deeper experience of the restoring work that God began when Jesus came, a work that continues today. Well, as we've heard through Zephaniah, God promised that his people would be restored and set free to new life. And as part of that new life, we hear that we will once again live with God here amongst us. In these passages today, this God promises twice in quick succession that he will be with us. In verse 15, the King of Israel, the Lord, is in our midst. And again, quickly in verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst. Well, in this season, when we proclaim the coming of Emmanuel, a name that quite literally means God with us, We're saying that with Jesus' arrival, God came to be with us once again. And so we trust that Jesus' way leads us to living life with God once again, and that our sense of that grows deeper and deeper as we learn to follow Christ more closely. So this morning, with Zephaniah's help, I'm hoping that we might not rush past that incredible promise, but rather experience it and experience the life that there is to find within it a little more deeply today. So let's do what the prophets help us to do. Let's take a step back from looking at just the verses in Zephaniah and see this whole promise within the larger story of God. So to do that, we need to go way back to the beginning, well, nearly the beginning, to Genesis 3, when we're given that beautiful but tragic image of God coming and walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. Now, presumably, God was coming to do what must have been a normal and a precious part of daily life in the garden before things went wrong. It seems that God would walk and talk and just enjoy time together with them, simply because God loved to do that. I've always loved to imagine what that would have been like, to be able to walk with God in the cool of the day, as it says in Genesis. Can you picture it? In my imagination, it's cool, but not cold. There's dappled sunlight, and I am so aware that somehow God, who is almighty and amazing, also seems to be able to walk gently and humbly on the soft, rich earth. And we get to walk with him in that same way, delighting in the magnificence of all he's made. Can you imagine that? How incredible would that be? Well, as we know, in Genesis, that beautiful possibility is actually part of a tragic scene in which God is searching for Adam and Eve. He calls to them, but they don't come. They're hiding, they're afraid, and they're ashamed of their nakedness. So they stay away from God. And in that, we actually see the catastrophic effects of the fall of humankind, which has meant that none of us are able to live in the way that we've been created to live. We are meant to be part of a vibrant community, a community full of rich, loving relationships with others, with creation, with God, and even with ourselves. But all of that has been damaged and distorted. None of those relationships function fully in the way they were supposed to. So instead of rich, loving community, now there's estrangement. And that estrangement is exactly what Christ came to fix. Jesus' mission is to bring reconciliation, to restore all of those relationships and make them all fresh and new. That's the essence of the work God did, is doing, and will continue to do through Christ. It is the work Jesus calls us, his followers, to be a part of. And it is a work that will continue until the day when all of those relationships are full and whole and functioning perfectly once again. That's what the prophets were promising. And as Zephaniah says, that promise really is reason to rejoice. Well, dear friends, on this third Sunday in Advent, as we think about joy, the promise of renewed life, that incredible promise of restoration and reconciliation, really is the source of deep, deep joy for us. Just think of it. Jesus is leading us to a life where there will be no more blame or division or selfishness, only love, respect, kindness, and kinship. We can look forward to a life in which, as I heard on a show I watched recently, we live with the earth rather than on it. We can look forward to a time when we will not ever feel shame again, because we'll know ourselves as God's beloved. And we'll be able to trust that we really are worthy of such incredible love from God, from each other, even that kind of love for ourselves. And most wonderfully, we can look forward to being able to run to God as he calls to us and to walking with him once again. Being with God and with each other completely, loving all fully and unconditionally. Friends, Jesus' coming has made and shown us the way for all of this to become much more than just a dream. Through Christ, God has begun to make this a reality. And God will keep his promise and will bring all of that to complete fullness. And that truly is reason to rejoice. And you know, that would be so much more than enough, wouldn't it? But as happens with God, there is more, much more. Not only do we rejoice at the thought that we might one day be able to walk with God again, but according to Zephaniah, God rejoices too. It's right there in verse 17. God told Zephaniah to tell us that on that wonderful day, we will know that the Lord God is in our midst. And then, it's like he said, Zephaniah, and make sure you tell them this. Then he says what is probably the most precious and most incredible part of the whole thing. He says, tell them that I will rejoice over them with gladness. I will rejoice over them with gladness. I will renew them with my love. God wanted us to know that the prospect of being able to be with us again, completely and uninhibited, walking gently together and enjoying each other fully, that won't just be a source of joy for us. It will be a source of absolute delight and joy for God too. God's going to be so overcome with joy at being with us once again that he says that he'll actually rejoice over us with singing. Friends, this joy that comes as we live with God isn't just ours, it's God's too, to the point that it's going to bubble out of God in a beautiful chorus sung over us in love. Something like a parent singing gently, overwhelmed with love, singing over their newborn baby. That's the deep, deep delight and joy that God feels at the prospect of being able to be with us fully once again. That's the joy that brought God to earth when Jesus was born. It's what sustained him through all that he endured. And it is the reason that God will see these promises fulfilled. And so today I pray that each of you might get a sense of God's delight and joy in you. And that his joy might sustain you and keep you chasing after Jesus trusting that one day we're going to get to take that walk again. Amen. Friends, please join me in prayer. God of our highest joy, we come to you this day as your servants, gathered to worship you and you alone. As we continue this Advent journey, help us to focus on you and on the coming of your Son, Jesus. Amidst the commercials, the cooking, and the company, help us to remember the true meaning of this season, that you would come to us in the flesh and forever live among us. Even as we share the joy we find in you with one another, we are mindful of those for whom joy is hard to find, those who don't have enough clothes to stay warm and dry, those who don't have enough food to adequately nourish them so that they can work and play and learn and live fully, those who don't have enough or even any shelter, those who our justice system doesn't protect. We know that by your design, there really is enough for everyone, but that this is complicated by our greed and selfishness. Help us to bear the good fruit that John the Baptist and all of God's prophets have called us to bear, being mindful of those around us who find themselves without during this season of giving. We pray this day for those longing for spiritual renewal and a deeper and closer sense of walking with you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would invigorate us, that we may provide for others first, before expecting them to provide for us, and that our lives and our choices might contribute to your mission of restoring life to our communities and to this world. Come to this place and encourage us to do the work to which we were baptized. Help us to proclaim the good news with our minds, with our mouths, with our hearts, and with our hands. We pray this day for the hope we have found, the peace we seek, and the joy we will receive in your holy name. May we be part of you bringing hope to the hopeless, peace to the restless, and joy to those who crave it. We pray this day either out loud or in our hearts for those who are dear to us. I pray for Bill. Gracious God, help us to know that the joy we find in you is a gift to be shared, and to experience the incredible truth that when it is shared, it multiplies. We thank you for your presence among us, for your creation around us, and for your providential care for us as we continue this blessed journey. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, once again, I thank you for your giving to the life and work of the church. Please join me in saying together our offertory prayer for today. Accept our offerings, O God, as tokens of our deep gratitude for the new life your Son has made possible for us. Use these gifts and us so that others might find their way to that abundant life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we must be approaching Christmas because I have a long list of announcements for you today. The first is that we have actually collected and tabulated the results of our fall fundraiser that happened in the first 2 weeks in November. And I'm delighted to say that we were able to raise $10,657.70. So a deep, heartfelt thank you to all of those who contributed. Also, we've been running a hamper program up until last Sunday, and I'd like to let you know that together we collected over $1,500 to be given to Sources, which is what is the new name for the Family Resources Association. So that money will go to create hampers to help families in our local area in need this Christmas. So thank you as well for your giving to that program. There's some things coming up in keeping with Christmas. The first is a carol sing that we are going to do in the church parking lot, weather permitting, on Sunday, December 19th. So that's next Sunday at 2 p.m. So there'll be some hot drinks there, and we're just going to get together and sing some Christmas carols outside in the safety of underneath God's great sky, and it will be a wonderful time. So pray that it's dry, and keep an eye on the church website on that day to see whether it's a go or not, depending on the weather. Also, we are preparing our Christmas Eve services, and as I have said, there will be three this year. One will be offered online for you to watch at your convenience in the comfort of your home, and also to share with anybody that you think might like to watch a Christmas Eve service. It's quite easy to send a link to our website or just a note to friends or loved ones to let them know that it's there if they'd like to watch it. As well, we will be having two in-person services on December 24th, one at 4 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. here in our sanctuary. And we are having limited seating, so we're asking people to book their seats ahead of time. It's quite easy to do. If you go to the events section on the church website, you will see Christmas Eve services come up large as anything, and you can just click on booking, and it's a very simple process. That way we will ensure that there is a seat there for you. Also, we are looking for some help to make those Christmas Eve services happen. There's a various kinds of little jobs that need to be done, but it takes many hands to do that. And so if you're going to be around on Christmas Eve and you would be interested in lending a hand for that, check the emailed announcements that came out last Thursday for the details of how we're looking for help. And you can check with the office to give us your name and let us know how you're willing to help. Friends, go now and rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be afraid or worried about anything, but in everything, trust God and pray. Bear fruits worthy of repentance, sharing what you have and being gentle with all. And may God rejoice over you with his gladness. May Christ Jesus renew you in his love, and may the Holy Spirit give you peace beyond your understanding to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Go now in peace and love to serve the Lord. Go now in the name of Christ. Amen.